Well, once again, Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, and Tonight, Counselor. What kind of a counselor is he? Well, first of all, we need to understand that he is the eternal God. Everything that God is a part of Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:9 simply puts it this way, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The whole Godhead dwelled in him. He has all wisdom. He has all understanding for all ages. It's not something that just comes and goes, that he understands this generation but not the next generation. It's for all ages. Go with me to Psalm chapter 16. Psalm chapter 16. And look at verse 7. David says this, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. He is the great counselor, and everything that he says is always right. My reins also instruct me in the night season. Now Psalm chapter 73. Psalm chapter 73. And look at verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. God's counsel ought to be absolutely defining in our life. I never have to doubt that what he is telling me is true. Everything when Jesus Christ came to this earth, everything that he said was the word of God. It was, thus saith the Lord. Being born of a woman, Christ knows what it is like to have disagreements, to feel pain, to work hard, to be frustrated, to be despised, to be rejected, to be tempted, to suffer, and to agonize over sin. That's the human side of him. When I come to Christ, I'm not just talking to God, I'm talking to a man as well who understands everything about me, ladies and gentlemen. And here's the good part. He understands me and he still loves me. When I go to Jesus, he encourages me. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my failures. He knows my sin. On the night before he was to die, he told his disciples that three things were going to happen. He said, first of all, I'm going to die. I'm leaving, but you're staying. Second of all, he said to them, one of you will sell me out. And of course, that was Judas. And third, he said, one of you will deny even knowing me. And that was the Apostle Peter. So what did Jesus do? Did he berate them? You bunch of ingrates, you're doing this to me? No. You know what he did? It's what he does to all of us. He encourages us. He encouraged them. In John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive ye unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to be a great deal of encouragement to us. He's told us, I'm going to prepare a place for you, just like he did his disciples that night. And then he said, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, and I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send another comforter to you that is just like me. Go back a couple of pages to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And look at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He is a protective counselor for all of us. He will never put more on us than what we can stand. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And you know exactly where we're headed there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Here's what he said. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He is a protective counselor for us. He is a praying counselor for us. Go to John 17. John 17. Part of the Olivet Discourse, and look at verses 9 and 10. He is speaking and he says, I pray for them. He's talking about you and me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And one of the things that he does constantly is he prays for us. He is a praying counselor on our behalf. So how does he counsel? Well, most of the time, ladies and gentlemen, he counsels through his word. Back to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. And look at verse 24. Psalms 119 and verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. When we read God's word, it's as if God is speaking to our heart. How effective is his counsel in all of our lives? Well, I want you to consider this. The Ten Commandments. Did anybody ever get into trouble following the Ten Commandments? That's his counsel to us. That's him saying, here's some things I want you to do, and here's some things that you should never do. Don't do this. Nobody ever got into trouble following the Ten Commandments. Did anybody ever get into trouble when they are loving their neighbor as themselves? Anybody ever go wrong following that counsel? Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. They will stay together. That's good counsel. When the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, no guy ever got into trouble with that. How about this one? Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I tell you what, it is such a wonderful thing if you had parents that took you to church and that loved you and talked to you about the things of God. How about this one? Whatever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. Don't be half-hearted about anything that you're doing. Do it with all your might. How about this? Come to me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved. Has anybody ever erred in asking God to forgive them and to come into their life and change them? Has anybody ever gone wrong with that? Hasn't your life been better since you've started listening to Jesus for counsel? The Bible is full of it. So please read your Bible. Read it every day. And then the song says, don't neglect it and don't forget to pray. Don't miss church. You'll be a better person, a better husband, a better wife, a better father, a better mother, a better neighbor, and a better employee if you will go to church. One of the things that God wants from each of us is He wants us to have a servant's heart. Go with me to Matthew chapter 20. This is good counsel. Matthew chapter 20. Let's begin reading in verse 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now chapter 23 of Matthew and verse 11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. So I want us to look at some promises from God to servants. 7,500 promises in the Bible, and we're just going to look at a couple of them this evening. First of all, regarding God's faithfulness to us. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. And look at verse 10. The Lord says to us, to servants, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Aren't you thankful for the word of God and for his promises to us? If we do our part, God always does his part. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's begin reading in verse 16. These are such wonderful, wonderful verses. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, whatever we're going through, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God is concerned about us every day, and His watch care over us is wonderful. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." What a wonderful promise that is. Now go with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And look at verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. The only thing that God says in His word that we should be addicted to, we should be addicted to the ministry of the saints. It ought to dominate our life. The book of Revelation contains perhaps the most well-known of the promises of God for His servants. Go with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Oh, boy, and you got to love this. We'll begin reading in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." That ought to make your eyes tear right now. "And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Now chapter 22, verses 3 through 5. "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Now, what about our faithfulness? In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, the Bible says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Your work is never ever wasted. Now, one last scripture in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And look at verses 9 and 10. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let's pray. Oh, Father, if we would just follow your counsel, our life would be so much better. If we would read your word and see the counsel that you have given to us, not only our life would be better, but the lives of the people at church would be better. And dear Father, America would be better. Our neighborhoods would be better. Father, help us to do it. Help us to take very seriously your wonderful word. Thank you for the way that you speak to our hearts. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in your house this evening. We thank you and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.